Welcome to the Water podcast. Water is a tool for testing web applications. You can find more about Water in episode 1. This is episode 5, recorded July 14, 2008. My name is Željko Filipin. Today with me is Walter Kruse. Did I say it right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. It sounds German.
It is German, yes.
And what you're doing in South Africa?
It's a long story. I'm a third generation German in South Africa. I'm not going to tell the long story now.
We'll leave it for next time. Can you tell us something about you?
I'm a software tester. I love open source software. I got introduced to software testing and open source in about the year 2000. I haven't been in computers for very long at the time. I think I'm a late entrant before I got into computers. I was actually a musician in the military. But I got into testing and I really enjoyed testing. I think I'm an all-rounder, but I'm also a lazy person. So if I see that I'm going to have to do a test procedure twice, I tend to look for a script or something to automate it. And that's really what led me to using scripting tools and so on.
So you're a very dry person, right?
A dry person.
Like, don't repeat yourself?
I don't know.
Do you know about dry? Don't repeat yourself. Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't.
It didn't turn out good.
Okay, no, that's fine. Did I repeat myself a lot there?
No. Do you listen to podcasts?
Not very much, not as a habit, but once in a while I see an interesting link and then I tend to download it and listen, but I don't collect and I don't have a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to listen. You know, you sit and can't really do other work or anything else.
Oh no, you're completely wrong there.
I can't multitask like that.
You can do anything. I listen to podcasts all the time while I'm driving, or I used to run a lot, and yeah, you can't do anything real while you're listening, but all the stuff that the brain goes off, you can turn it on by podcasting, but yeah. That's another topic. How did you get into computers? When did you see the first computer?
Well, I saw computers when I was a child already, but I never actually had an interest in them. And I was working in my previous career when I was a musician. I was working in the administrative office of the unit where I was, and I was given a task to be done on the computer in Excel, actually on Windows 3.1. And I saw the power of a spreadsheet. And it amazed me, and it was soon afterwards that I actually got a second-hand computer, and then I wanted to run some programs on it, but I didn't have a copy of Windows. So a friend handed me a CD, and it was at the time Red Hat 6. So since then, I've just been very interested in all the internals and so on.
So you didn't get the name of the CD?
It was Red Hat 6.
Oh, Red Hat, yeah.
Red Hat, yes.
I think I've started with that too, but never mind. You said you're a musician. Now you have to send me a link or an MP3 for the podcast.
It's not the type of music that you think. I played, I don't know if you know the bagpipes, the Scottish bagpipes.
Oh, yeah, I know it.
That's what I play in quite a big band. It's not really the sort of music you want to play in the beginning of a podcast.
Why not? It's your podcast. No. We can play anything you like. No, really, if you'd like, I'll play it.
I don't actually have a recording of myself playing at all, which is probably a good thing.
If you record yourself or have a recording, I'll play it. I promise.
Okay, we can talk about it after the recording.
Yeah, we can talk later. How did you get into software testing?
I started doing, I got interested in bookkeeping and bookkeeping with computers, with software. And I got a job with a company doing their books, and it was actually a software testing company here in South Africa. And after a while, I actually got more interested in the software testing than in the bookkeeping. And the guy that I was working for at the time gave me a chance. You know, he let me go to a client and tried my hand as a very, very junior tester. And the bug bit, and I've really been into testing. That was in around 2001. So it's really about 7 years that I've been in testing.
Longer than me. How did you get into automation?
I was working at a particular client, and the system that I was testing was an archiving application, and it had to write a lot of data from an Oracle database into text files for storage on a disk volume, long-term storage. And I had to look for patterns in these files. And if from one test cycle, you would have 4,000 text files. And like I said before, I'm quite a lazy person. So I looked at a way of being able to do this programmatically. That's what we have computers for. And eventually I started working a little bit with Perl. And it helped me a lot in my testing on this particular project. And I went on to another project, and I had to do something entirely different, but I found a way to automate it using Perl again, using the Perl DBI with the database queries. And it just really grew from there. And then I found that there's actually open source test tools. And the first one that I really used was a tool called Android. It was written by a guy called Larry Smith. And it was basically a shell around Tickle and Expect. I've also used the Perl Win32 GUI test library for a lot of Windows automation.
And how did you get into Water and Ruby?
Well, I went on to another place to work, and there was, again, a different type of challenge. But shortly after I started work on that project, I read an article or a review written by Danny Fort where he compared a Perl browser testing tool called SAMI.
Oh, it's
written by, you know about it?
I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's written by Henry Wasserman. I was playing with that at the time, and Danny had in his article, he had a sort of a comparison between that and Water, and I got interested in this new language and this new tool. And I found that by learning just enough Ruby to get the tool to work, I could do some useful automation on the project, and that's really how it started.
Yeah, Ruby's easy, right?
Well, it's easy after having done Perl, but I can't really say if it's that easy for someone who knows no programming.
If you don't know programming, everything's hard.
Yes.
Why do you like testing?
Why? I think it's mainly you really get to understand how software works more than just an average user. You have to know, for instance, you have to understand why you would use something like the Windows event log, for instance. You get to work with databases. You get to work with a whole lot of different technologies, and I'm interested in a lot of things. So there's always something new to learn. I think that's really what I like most about testing. You can never sit back and say you know everything about testing.
Oh, my next question would be, what do you like the most about testing? And you said now at the end of the sentence, it's about learning, right?
Yes.
You've ruined the question.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Could you tell us a little bit about the application you're testing?
I'm not really testing anything at the moment. I work for a company who's an IBM business partner. So I get to play with all the rational testing tools, and I give training on those tools. And I'm really a consultant, so I'm not at the cold face or at the sharp end of any project at the moment. I'm probably going to be deployed on a project reasonably soon. for some automation, and at any opportunity that I get to start using water again, I will. But right now, I'm not really using it.
When did you start using water?
It was 2005. It was quite early in 2005. Can I tell you a bit about the thing that I was testing?
Yeah, right.
It was for our inland revenue organization. They processed a lot of files from different banks with payments in, and they had a web-based reporting system for this. And there was really a bit of a problem with the regression testing of that. And I started writing regression tests. And then I came across an interesting article written by a guy called Mike Kelly about measuring, taking performance measurements while you're doing your functional testing with water.
Oh, and I think I read it.
Sorry?
I think I've read that article.
Yeah. It was quite a while ago. It was in 2005. I think there was some discussion on the mailing list about it at the time. And I actually started by literally doing what he said in the article, and it really just grew from there. But it was essentially a regression test suite. And then I tried to do an action word framework around water, where I had users put variable data for functions. A function would, for instance, be a login, and then the parameters would be a username and a password. And I would write some code to perform the login action and call it with those parameters, and I put that in a spreadsheet so that users, once they understand what the functions do, or the keywords or the action words, they can supply their own variable data. And that actually worked quite well. It was quite a lot of coding, and I was still fairly new with Ruby, but that's probably one of my biggest learning experiences in Ruby, was writing that, interacting with Excel, getting the data into a format that water can actually use it. And I still see that as probably my biggest work with water. I really enjoyed it, and I hope to do something like that, probably a little bit better from my experiences when I work with it again.
You said that you were creating framework for other users to use. Did you work in a test team?
I was really the only technical person on the test team. I was the only one coding. As soon as someone understood the functionality that was being tested and the variable data that needed to be inputted into the fields, for instance, I could explain to them what they needed to capture in the spreadsheet, and they could then populate it and give it to me so that the tests could automatically be executed.
How big was the test team?
I think we were about... It varied. I was there for about a year, so I would say at the most we were 10 people. At times we were maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, 5 to 10, okay. And how big was the development team?
There were really only 2 developers.
Oh, so it's a developer tester ratio is
very good ratio, but it's because it's the inland revenue. I think the American equivalent is the IRS. You know, the tax people,
yeah.
Tax man. It was that software, and they don't really like having failures in their software. So the tester developer ratio was quite good on that project.
Do you know how many tests or lines of code did you have?
I actually still have my scripts, but I'm not going to try to look for it now. I think I ended up with one big script. I still have to learn about modular programming. I think I ended up with one big script of about 150 lines of code, 100 to 150 lines of code, and I automated about 8 different functionalities. So I had about 8 keywords that you could call with different parameters.
How long would the test run?
It ran for about half an hour to between half an hour and an hour.
What do you like about water?
It's the name water And the graphic that you put in on the podcast site is actually a very good illustration of it. It can be any shape that you want. Water takes on the shape of the container that you put it in. You know, you can have it in a glass, or you can have it lying flat out on the ground. And water, the tool is really very similar. You can do with it whatever you want. You can have a 10-line script that just does one repetitive task on a website, and you can really build a big, robust framework around the tool. So it's that customizability. You really roll out your own test tool using the water library. That's what I like most about it.
Great pictures.
Yes. Another, I must say that just on another level, I've been using open source software for a long time, and I've never actually seen such a nice community as the water community. Okay. I don't know if you probably agree with me. It's just a very nice bunch of people, excellent work being done. So the community around the tool is also something that I'm probably happier using the tool because there's a good community. You know, it's not abandoned where you can go and download something from SourceForge and no one has touched the code in 3 years. And water is totally the opposite. It's very, very alive.
I would agree with that. A bunch of really nice people. What don't you like about water?
That's a hard question. I think I can't say that there's anything I don't like about it. If you ask me what would I like to see different, is probably I think I told you when you invited me to participate in this podcast. I haven't worked with it really in a long time. I'm not very up to date with the latest releases, but I think a one-on-one functionality comparison using it on IE or on Firefox would probably be something that I would like to see. I think if you could run it on, if you don't have to run it on Windows, that'll also help. You know, here in South Africa, there's a very big drive for open source software in government. And if I, for instance, want to go and use an open source test tool and they have Linux desktops, you know, I wouldn't be able to use water. I think that's probably, I don't really have a problem with the tool. There's nothing I don't like.
FireWater is functional at the moment, and it's in development too. So it's not as good as water, but it's useful.
So I'm going to have to take a look at it.
It works on Windows, Linux, and Mac, and drives Firefox. Yeah, so the name FireWater. You should take a look. Brett is working on it, so the API would be the same as the water one.
Yes.
So we are all looking forward to that. What frameworks have you been using with water?
Well, I think the one that I explained is really the only one which is an action word or a keyword framework. I wrote all that myself. I haven't used Wet or any of those that other people write, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, I was thinking about test unit, RSpec, Rasta, or Wet.
No, I haven't used any of those.
Yeah, you roll your own, right?
Probably not to the same level as that, and I'm probably very much behind the times and losing out. I think I'm going to have to spend a little bit of time with water after this podcast.
We would like water to be able to drive FireWater as well as Internet Explorer. Anything else you would like to see in the future versions?
No, I think I never really had any constraints, anything that I couldn't test when I was testing in Internet Explorer. I didn't really have that modal dialogue. I remember about 3 years ago, it was a very big problem. What I did, there was an example on the mailing list. Unfortunately, I can't remember who it was. You showed how you can use some Perl code and dismiss a dialogue like that. And I actually did that also. There's really nothing that I couldn't do that I needed to do with the tool.
And now they have a lot of Ruby code for a lot of pop-ups, but I never had to use it, so I really don't know how it works.
Yes.
Brett said he'll fix it after he fixes what it works with Firefox. You also said before you've used other open source testing tools. Could you tell us more about it?
The one that I've really done the most work with was the Pearl Win32 GUI test module, which drives Windows Forms. Very similar to what Water does in the browser. I mean, it's not an HTML DOM, but it's on the Windows GUI. I did a lot of testing of that. I also developed a similar framework that reads keywords with parameterized data. I'm just thinking of other examples. I've worked a lot with open source defect tracking tools. I've installed quite a few for some clients. I work with Subversion quite a lot. And Sammy, like I mentioned before, I'm also starting to look a little bit at Python now. There's a lot of test tools written in Python, and there might be some of those that I can put to good use if the opportunity presents itself.
Do you know about the site opensourcetesting.org, I think?
Yes, I've been there on the forum before.
So if you're looking for open source test tool, I think they're all there.
That's definitely a good resource, yes.
Would you compare any of the tools you used with Water?
There's actually an interesting comparison. This the Pearl Win32 GUI test module that I was just talking about. There's a similar thing for Ruby on RubyForge. I think it's also called the Win32 GUI test, or just GUI test. Unfortunately, there's not really a lot of work going into it at the moment, and my C coding is really not good enough to contribute code, or even to check out a version and get it working myself. But I've always thought it might be a good idea, it might be a nice thing to have that working side by side with Water, so that you could interact with the Windows applications as well as the browser in maybe similar tests.
The same API for testing Windows apps?
Yes, or a similar API, yes.
Yeah, similar, not the same, yeah. You said you made a framework for other users, like a data-driven framework for other testers to use. Have you built any other tools?
Not anything that I would be able to publish on a site for other people to use, and I haven't. I hope to one day maybe put a tool on SourceForge, but I don't really have time. Very interesting. A lot of open source software is written because of one developer that has a personal need for something, and that develops into a whole tool and a community like we see with Water. I really haven't been in that situation, but I'm not saying it can't happen in the future. But no, I don't have tools that's really downloadable for public consumption.
I didn't think of anything that you'll publish, but anything that's really useful for you.
One of the things that I use most is I have a very generic script for interrogating databases. I used to have the script in Perl, and you just supply database connection string variables and your query as a parameter to the script. And if you have to do a lot of database validations, you can put that into another script to automatically go and check at a certain point. It can go and get data, see if the item you just captured is correctly written into the database, for instance. So I wrote a wrapper around that database interaction so that you don't have to sit with an SQL client open the whole time while you're testing, for instance.
Sounds interesting. You said that you're not using Water at the moment. Are you monitoring the list or reading the
notes? I am, yes. I'm watching the list quite closely.
Do you help out with Water in any way?
Once in a while, I'm not an expert enough to help out, but it's interesting to see the solutions that people come up with. I really just read it for my personal interest and to try and keep up to date. There have been times when I've submitted answers that have helped people, but I'm not a regular contributor now.
Well, you don't have to be regular. Any question answered is is a great help for somebody. It's almost anything I do. Just point people to the answers there that are already on the wiki.
Yeah.
we can end the show now. My last question is, do you have a website or a Twitter account? Where can people find you?
I have a website. Do you want me to give you the URL?
Yeah, you can say it, but you can send it later via mail message.
I'll send it to you.
Go ahead and say it for the people that want to go to the site.
Okay, it's www.ou-ryperd.net.
That's a complicated URL.
It is. It's actually very simple in my mother tongue, which is Afrikaans. It really, it's pronounced Ouraypert, and it really means it means an old faithful riding horse. That's literally what it means. There's a song, a very old Afrikaans song, by that name, and that's really where I got that name from.
Just great. No Twitter account?
No.
I'm using Twitter for posts at when we have an interview or when we publish an interview, so I link to other people that hear it.
Yes.
Thank you a lot for talking to me today.
Okay, Jelka, it's been a pleasure.
Same here. Hope to talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Water Podcast. If you have a question or six, if you'd like to record a podcast with me, if you'd like to suggest somebody I should talk to, leave a comment at waterpodcast.com. Alistair Scott, Brett Petticoat, Alan Baird, Charlie Baker, Ali Balkan, and Rich Downing contributed to questions, mostly at the Water IC channel. Music is performed by my guest Walter. It is from March the Old Boy, composed by Nick Downey. My site is jelkofilipin.com. We have a sponsor. Nice people from Watercraft are paying for the hosting, so I don't have to. Go to www.watercraft.com to learn more. All links are in episode show notes.